Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there and check out all the other things, the archives, the articles, the blog is there. It's updated every Monday through Friday, and we'll send it to you, or you can come and get it. The newsletter comes on Sunday by email. Doug Barry is with us, ladies and gentlemen. You know who Doug is. Doug's an old friend of ours. He's with BuyUSA.com, part of the Department of Commerce, the outstanding Department of Commerce that's so helpful to small business owners in the various and sundry resources that they make available to you, like the BuyUSA.com website, like the Export.gov, I think is another one, the U.S. Commercial Services across the country, and he is our good friend. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. You're doing good there with running down all those great resources.
Well, I've been talking to you guys for a long time. I like telling my audience about the different things that the Department of Commerce offers. We have had one of your, the Secretary of Commerce, on the show before. Not the current one, although I have met him, Doug, and have invited him to be on the show. We just haven't gotten that worked out yet. But I'm looking forward to that. But none can compare to you, Doug.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And as usual, I'm here today to encourage your audience to look overseas as a source of new business. And I wanted to discuss with you this morning the cultural differences and aspects of doing business.
This is one of the things that the smart Americans who want to do business overseas, the smart ones will be just concerned and intimidated enough about the cultural differences to get educated, to recognize that there are differences and that those differences matter when you do business with other folks wherever they're doing business, whether it be the Pacific Rim or Europe or Canada for that matter, or even Utah, I guess, but the Americans who might be not so smart are the ones who think, well, I'm an American, and however I want to be is okay, and it ought to be okay with the other people. And those are called, around the world, those are called ugly Americans, aren't they, Doug?
Yes, and there certainly is an aspect of that, Jim, but on the other hand, folks shouldn't be intimidated by these cultural differences. And, you know, I was reading some of these business culture books in preparation for this morning, and I'll tell you, I was a little shocked. You know what? You want to know why?
Why?
I desperately
want to know why.
I'm glad you asked. And here are a couple of examples. In one of the chapters, it tells you that when you're in Thailand, you better not touch anybody on the head because it will be terribly offensive. And then, in certain Arab countries, you dare not show the bottom of your feet.
That's right.
Or
that's
the
right.
Same thing will happen.
When you're in an Arab country, do your best not to cross your legs.
Yes, cross
your
legs.
And if you do, make sure your feet are pointing down.
Right.
Now I will say this, Doug. It's not like they jump up and storm out the room, or they pull a sword and to set about to eviscerate you. It's not like that. It's just that. It's mostly, because I've been to the Middle East, and it's mostly considered just disrespect, and it's the kind of thing that will just put them off enough where they won't do business with you.
Yes, and the same thing is true in Japan, where you dare not stick your chopsticks upright in the rice bowl. But I'll tell you this, Jeb, I don't know how many business meetings you have been in where an American leapt up and went over to a Thai person and began massaging the top of his head.
Well, or rubbing the top of their head, you know.
Like have you, have you ever seen that happen?
No, I've never seen that happen. But you know, or I wonder if that applies. You know, see, here's how I might be guilty of that, Doug. If a little 3-year-old boy, a Thailand boy, comes up to me, I might reach over and rub his little head, you know, or something, like I would a grandson or something.
Could be.
So
unlikely to happen in a formal business meeting. Maybe out on the street somewhere. But
that's
not
true. Although in my office, my grandsons drop by from time to time. So you could have that in America, but maybe not Thailand. The point you're making, Doug, is an excellent one, and that's that there are a few things that are important to folks in other parts of the world, and we should be aware of them.
Yes. And there's all kinds of ways to become aware of them. And, you know, I've been to Japan a number of times, and I'm sure I have left the chopsticks standing upright. And I don't know that anyone has been so offended that it's been the end of my or anybody else's business activities. I think that in Japan, they're so delighted that you would even try to use chopsticks.
Bingo.
Whether they stood up or not, or whether you jabbed them in the top of the rice, would be a very secondary concern. So I think the point is that don't be psyched out to the point where you are fearful of making an effort to do business in another country because you feel you're going to make one of these cultural faux pas that you don't even know exists.
Well, I know a lot of people overseas, in other parts of the world, Doug, and I don't know any of them who, if you did a little faux pas, that they wouldn't see that it was obviously unintentional, and if you had already been trying to go at least halfway in the cultural exchange, wouldn't give you a pass for that. Again, and let me give you an example. It goes back to what you said a minute ago about using the chopsticks. Whenever I travel to another country, I do my very best to learn at least hello, good morning, how are you, please and thank you, that kind of thing in their language. And even if I butcher it when I say it, it's amazing how many miles of slack you can get from the other folks if they know that you're trying to meet them halfway.
Right. And, of course, sometimes, you know, there are hilarious consequences. I remember one time in Barcelona, Spain, where I was trying to order a meal in Spanish, and I had my lady friend with me then, this was years ago, who was a native Spanish speaker, and I proudly rattled off the Spanish that I had memorized, and she, of course, bowled over in laughter, as did the waiter. And I said, well, what are you laughing at? And she said, you just ordered a horse's head.
So Doug, we have to go to a break, but before we go, I have to ask you, how was it?
Oh, I'm a vegetarian now.
Break, right back. I didn't know that about you, Doug. 20 after, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Doug Barry's here, too. He's with the Department of Commerce. And, Doug, give us those websites again, please.
The website, Jim, is export.gov. And if you go there today, you will find all kinds of useful information about how you can start doing business overseas soon. If not today, then maybe next week in Canada, United Kingdom, or another English-speaking country. And if you're, you know, a little more adventurous, we'll take you to 85 different countries around the world and help you sell your products and services there.
Now, is that where I can also find a listing of the U.S. Commercial Services offices around the country?
That's correct, right there on the homepage.
Folks, that may be the biggest birthday present small business ever got is having knowing where those U.S. Commercial Services offices are and around the country. What do you got, about 100 around the country?
There's 108 in the United States, probably very near where most of your listeners are, and there is over 120 offices around the world. And, you know, you were talking, Jim, about some simple, culturally sensitive thing.
Can I stop you? Let me stop you for a second, though. Before we go any further, folks, I want you to do something for me. I want you to promise me one thing, and this is not going to be hard for you to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care whether you're a micropreneur, you're a home-based business owner with no employees and barely out of the blocks with your company, or if you've been in business 100 years, I want you to let's make a deal. I want you to promise me something. This summer, before September, I want you to go on export.gov right now and find the U.S. Commercial Service office near you. You probably won't have to drive more than 100 miles, maybe not even 8 miles. I want you to promise me that sometime this summer, you'll go to that office with no preconceived notions. You don't have to have a plan. You don't even have to have a question to ask. Go to that office, talk to those people, introduce yourself, and just get to know them. Don't even worry about whether you're going to export or not. Just get to know them. Let them tell you a little bit about what they do. And I promise you, if you'll do that, I believe, Doug, with all my heart, that if small business owners will do that, that they'll write me an email and thank me.
That's the Small Business Advocate Challenge, Jim.
That's
and
right.
It's a great one.
That's right. Now, I mean that, folks. I really believe that that could be the key to your future, to your long-term success. Never mind China, never mind France, never mind Honduras. I don't care what's in your future from an export standpoint. And maybe, you know what, maybe you'll decide you don't want to do it. But the main thing is you'll make a decision based on information, not on some kind of prejudice or preconceived notion. Okay, Doug, now go ahead.
That's a great idea. Absolutely great idea. And don't worry, you can go in and you can touch us on the top of the head. That's okay.
Right. Doug actually likes it when you touch him on the top of the head. Okay, Doug, you were talking about, we're talking about cultural issues. One quick thing, Doug, on that is, English is the international language of business, and a lot of people around the country will speak English. I mean, around the world, will speak English because they know Americans are so almost criminally, singular in
language challenged.
We sure are. But you know what I do, and this gets me a lot of miles too with the people I meet overseas. I thank them for speaking English.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good idea. And you can also, of course, in your communication back to them by email or fax, you can also pick up, as you indicated, a line or two, just a salutation or a sign-off in their language.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a little further along, you could always get an intern from a local college or university to help you translate things if that was required or learn about the business culture from that person.
Those are the kinds of little touches, Doug, that make a relationship, build a relationship with people in another country that basically has to precede a business deal, doesn't it? Some kind of relationship.
Some kind of personal relationship. And Americans are very good at this, despite what is said about how quickly we operate and time is money and we're rushing off to the next one. Americans, as you know, friends and as sympathetic people to fellow Americans and other people that we may meet around the world, we're very open and warm and friendly people for the most part. All we have to do is make sure that we demonstrate that warmth and friendliness towards people of other cultures, and already we have a leg up.
That's absolutely true. And and the truth is, Doug, it's amazing how easy it is to make friends in other parts of the world by simply making a couple of gestures.
Right.
I mean, they really appreciate the fact. And I'll tell you something else, Doug. Other people in other cultures are automatically interested in what Americans are doing, aren't they?
Yes.
There's something fascinating about Americans for a lot of people in other parts of the world.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, you if you're not getting them now, you may get them in the future, and that is an inquiry from a potential buyer somewhere in the world. They may,
but not Nigeria.
Not Nigeria, but even even people from Nigeria need things, and they're very honest people everywhere, Jim. And
But they won't send you an email and with wanting to give you a lot of money.
Yeah, hey, Doug, don't reply to one of those.
Give us that website.
If they want your bank account so they can deposit $1 million there. Take a pass.
Export.gov, right, Doug?
That's it, Jim.
Thank you, Doug, for being here. Good job today, as always. Don't forget, folks, U.S. Commercial Services office near you on export.gov. Make that promise to me and go and do it this summer. Quick break, right back with Bill Halal after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.